God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hope you're all hungry for church tonight. Come ready. Expecting God to feed us, to help us, to deliver us. Amen. To show us the path. Glory to God. You know, I remember once when I was first learning about God and the things of God and the Spirit of God and all these things. You know, I went through some, I was in some ministries that were a little bit off, and I was connected to some that were a lot of bit off, actually. But, you know, they didn't have the truth of the Word or the fullness of the Word or anything like that. Not that we know the fullness of the Word, but, you know, we certainly know a lot more than they did, praise the Lord. But one of the things that I remember going through was a deliverance ministry. You know, I had to be delivered from things. And you know, I'm so thankful for the teaching, a correct teaching of the Word, because the true deliverance ministry is just following the Word of God. Amen. As you follow the Lord, you're delivered all the time. Amen. And so whatever you can get into, whatever you can step into, God can deliver you out of it if you're faithful, if you follow Him. Amen. And so that's what we endeavor to do. We endeavor to follow the Spirit of God. We endeavor to follow the plan and the purposes that He's laid out. And as we do, we find deliverance. Amen. You know, there's nothing that I haven't found deliverance in my life yet. Praise the Lord. And I've been bound by some pretty heavy things, some pretty major things in my life. Amen. Glory to God. I've been bound by drugs. I've been bound by perversion. I've been bound by, all kinds of mental attacks and mental problems and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But God has set me free from all of them. And how has He set me free? Just through the teaching of the Word. Amen. But, you know, you have to connect to the Word. You have to hold on to the Word. You have to embrace the Word. You know, I was recently seeking God on some things, and I was like, Lord, why was I delivered from some of these things, and yet so many people that I've seen haven't been delivered? You know, and I was thinking back about my church life, and since I've been in the family churches, and what was the difference? I'm like, Lord, why is it that I got delivered? I'm not that much better of a person. I'm certainly not smarter, maybe better looking, but you know than most. But praise the Lord. But there was just a lot of wonder in me. You know, and what the Lord showed me was, He said, you know, because one of the things that I dealt with greatly in my walk was offense, and sometimes is offense, being offended at different things. But what the Lord showed me is, He's like, you know, this seemed to speak this to my spirit. You were never offended by the Word. He said, the reason that you could be helped is because you were never offended by the Word. I may have been offended by personalities. At different times, I might have been offended by a person. But I was never offended by the Word. And as I look back on my life, you know, I realized that that was true. I realized that I was never offended by the Word. When I saw the Word, I embraced it. When the Word was taught, I embraced it. I didn't always like the Word in the sense that I you know, sometimes it corrected me. But even when it corrected me, I still embraced it. I was never offended by the Word. If somebody is offended by the Word, then God cannot help them. Yeah. I said, if they're offended by the Word, God cannot help them. Now, I don't know why I'm sharing this. I'm actually meant to share that tomorrow, because I'm getting into some good stuff in Mayville tomorrow, but I believe we're getting into some good stuff tonight. And the Lord just had, I believe the Lord would have me to share that tonight. Never being offended by the Word. So be a person who endeavors never to be offended by the Word. If I can see it in the Word, I can embrace it. Amen. Glory to God. And of course, we're not going to preach about that today, but we're going to preach about other things. Amen? Amen? Tonight's message is called A Blessed Harvest. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord would have for me to preach here, and He started dealing with me these things early in the week, and it's just kind of spilled over in today, so this is where we're going. But we're talking about a blessed harvest. Amen? Amen? And you may think that I'm going to tell you how to get more stuff. You may think that I'm going to tell you how to be blessed, be the best you, all this stuff, but that's not what I'm doing, amen? What I'm endeavoring tonight by tonight's message is to get you in the plan of God and to get you into that place where God wants you, and that place is blessed, amen? With harvest, we are likened many times, we're likened to farmers, praise the Lord, and we know that any good farmer should see a harvest, right? If they plant the crops right, if they put them in the right place, they should see a harvest. God intends that we all have a harvest. Now, that harvest should not be just one thing in life, but it should be all things in life. Our harvest should appear in every area of life. And in fact, we'll see that if we're, you know, if it's not it's not on God's end, if we don't see harvest in a certain area. And so if we're lacking in an area, then we need to get before the Lord and find out what that is. But we're going to find out about that tonight. Amen. Well, we're going to start in a scripture I actually have back there on the wall. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Proverbs 4:7. So why don't you go ahead and turn with me there. We're talking about a blessed harvest. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's a lot of people today that that focus on finances. They focus on money and getting more stuff. I just found that as you follow the Lord and you endeavor to be in His plan and you put Him first, I just found that He brings things to you, that you don't have to strive and fight and think and wonder and worry and all these things, that God just brings them to you. Amen. And it's such a wonderful place to be. And I've seen it in anybody who's faithful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But it all starts with our understanding and our knowledge. Amen. You know, I was raised a Christian when I was a young child. My grandparents started taking me to church. You know, I started going to church, and I went quite faithfully for a long time. When I was in my teens, I even accepted the Lord. Praise God. But you know, in all that time, I still hadn't gone through the worst parts of my life yet. I still hadn't gone through the worst pains that I was going to go through. I still hadn't gotten into the worst things that I was going to do yet. In all that time period. So I was saved. I learned to love God. I learned that from an early age. But you know that there was a disconnect between the Jeff that was then and the Jeff that is now. There was a disconnect in that process. Somewhere along the lines, I got into all this bad stuff. I got into this bad living, this wrong living. I got into, having a debased mind. I got into thinking wrong and all these things. And what it was because even though I was in a church, even though I was raised as a Christian, even though I was raised to believe Jesus was the Son of God, I didn't have a good understanding of understanding. Amen. And wisdom was something that eluded me. I somehow I missed that concept, and probably because it wasn't really taught. And so we're going to find ourselves here in Proverbs 4:7. We're going to get some wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:7 tells us wisdom is the principal thing. That means it's the number one thing. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. It's the principal thing. It's the most important thing. Principle or wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. I love what my brother said. Once my brother was telling me the difference between, I don't know what we were talking. He's like, now difference between knowledge and wisdom. Glory to God. And I just always love what he said. I don't normally quote my brother, but I'm going to tonight. Praise the Lord. He said to me, knowledge will tell you that a tomato is a fruit. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Wisdom tells you that it will not work in a fruit salad. Glory to God. And so don't we know that tomato isn't good in a fruit salad, even though it's considered a fruit, praise God. Hallelujah. And so, wisdom is an important thing to have. We can gain knowledge. In fact, there's a lot of people that gain knowledge about scripture, gain knowledge about the Bible, but they don't gain wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Amen. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Praise the Lord. So the most important thing for us to get, and all the things that we can be after, the Bible directs us right here that the most important thing that we can get is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, essentially. Amen. It's the ability to use the knowledge to benefit your life. Glory to God. And this is an area that so many people miss it in. They miss it because they ignore knowledge, they ignore wisdom. People do foolish things. You know, in fact, I haven't seen one trial that a person has gotten into themselves into that wasn't completely avoidable. Right? Praise the Lord. Now, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for 6 years. I've been a Christian for much longer. I've been a human for 44 years. And in 44 years, I have not seen somebody get into a trial that was caused by themselves, you know, a trial that they got themselves into that wasn't completely avoidable. In fact, a lot of times it was completely avoidable even in the current knowledge that they had, but they refused the wisdom and the knowledge that they had. Sometimes they ignored it. Sometimes they just didn't know how to apply it. Amen? Glory to God. This came to me as I was preparing this message. If gambling was a sure thing, everybody would do it. You know, there's a reason why most sane adults don't go spend time in casinos. Because if you go spend time in casino, the one thing that you know, if you're rational, if you're a thinking person, if you have any wisdom, is that all it is a loser. It's just going to rob from you. There's a reason that casinos get built big. There's a reason they're rich. The owners of them are rich. And it isn't because they pay out well. Glory to God. It's because they convince people that they might pay out, and then people go there and then and they gamble. But we know this, that you know, I could probably guarantee you that most of the billionaires in life didn't get to be a billionaire by gambling. They got there probably through some sort of wisdom. Amen. And so this is something that we have to understand. Even with the lottery and things like that, you know, I remember when I was working in the factory, one of the things that they used to love to do is they'd get like, you know, 10, 20 people together and they'd all pitch in. And when there was a super lottery or something like that, and everybody would pitch in, you know, $5 or $10 and they would buy, you know, hundreds of tickets. Praise the Lord. And so, it, like, in their mind, they're all like, you know, this is a good thing. It gives us really good odds, you know, because we got hundreds of tickets versus just one. And then, you know, and we've heard of people doing this before, and then they all split the winnings if they win. And so I remember getting in on one of these. And once when I got in on one of those, we of course, we didn't win. And then the second bout came around, and they came around to the same people that get on the first one. They say, we're going to do this again. Praise the Lord. And I said, I'm not doing this again. See, because I got enough wisdom in the first time to realize, because I started doing a little thinking. And the thinking was this, that the odds of, even if I had 10,000 tickets, the odds of winning that big of a lottery, even with the odds that were, even if 10,000 tickets were no better than the odds of having one ticket. I had no better, there really wasn't that much of a difference in the odds. And once I realized that, I stopped wasting my money on it. Yeah. Amen? So what I learned was I applied wisdom of something. I know the first time I didn't, you know, and I'm not, you know, whatever. If somebody buys a lot, I'm not telling you go out and buy a lottery ticket or anything like that. But, you know, if you spend a dollar on a lottery ticket, is it going to send you to hell, or is it going to ruin your life? Probably not. But, you know, the idea is that it isn't wisdom. It's not most people look at that and they say, this isn't the way that we're going to get out of trial. Amen. Praise the Lord. Or this isn't the way we're going to get into. Now, I actually know somebody who won the lottery. Praise the Lord. But it's like, it's literally like a fluke. Amen. You'd never know that they did, but they did. Amen. Well, praise the Lord for them. Glory to God. But if gambling was a sure thing, everybody would do it. We know that it's not a sure thing. And that's why, generally speaking, most people, they don't, you know. And there could be addictions and stuff like that where people get into it, you know, and it traps them. But that's like anything, you know. Anything in life can be like that. It's not just that. Praise the Lord. But wisdom tells us that we need to do things differently. Glory to God. This also came to me when that was coming to me. Praise the Lord. Take time to understand God and His creation. This is one of the most imperative things that we can do as believers. If we are disciples, what does a disciple do? Man, we run on John 8:31 and 32, and don't you know it speaks to me just about every week? Praise the Lord. Every time I look at that scripture, it actually speaks to me. A disciple of God is one who follows, one who learns from. Amen. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Glory to God. In other words, be my disciple. Praise the Lord. We owe it to God. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our church family. We owe it to our own family to learn God's ways. We need to take time to understand God and His creation. If we do this, if we take time to understand God and His creation, there's going to be a lot of things in life that are a lot easier for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:11, I just want to bring it up here and show you, bring your attention to it. Because in learning God and His creation, we can also learn things about the devil. And we should know that we should know the devil the way the devil does things. Yeah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what? His devices. We are not ignorant of his ways, his way of doing things. But the problem is so many Christians are ignorant of the devil's ways. They're ignorant of God's ways, and they're ignorant of the devil's ways. And because of that, people get caught up in his traps. They get taken advantage of. The word has given us enough knowledge for us to never be taken advantage of. A Christian has no right to stumble, no right to be stuck. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying you don't have a right to. Amen? And yet the problem with the body of Christ so often is that not only do Christians get stuck, or not only do they stumble, but they seem to live in perpetual stuck or perpetual stumble. If you're living in perpetual stuck or perpetual stumble, glory to God, something's off. Something's off. You're missing a connection between you and God. You haven't learned God's ways yet. If the Word of God isn't working for you, you haven't learned His ways yet. And if it's seriously, if it's that big of a problem where you're like, man, I keep coming here and I don't change, I don't learn, then you need to humble yourself and come to seek somebody like your pastor and say, what am I doing wrong? I'm ready to hear. I want to know specifically what I'm doing wrong. And I'm open to anything. I won't get offended about it. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Oh, that people would come when they come and say that. Because then that would give you, as a pastor, give you an open door to say, this is what's wrong. But there's sometimes you can't. There's things that I've had to withhold from people because I knew the minute I say it, they would get offended and they would leave. You say, well, are you just catering to people to try to keep them? No, I'm trying to keep them long enough for the word to get implanted to them so hopefully they will learn. But you know, and sometimes it's a process. It was a process for me. It's still a process for me, glory to God. If anyone thinks that they know or that they have arrived, it's the very first sign that they haven't arrived and that they don't know. Amen? Glory to God. Learning is going to be a process of life. Amen. And pride tells us that we have nothing more to learn. Pride tells us that it's not that someone else can't speak into our lives. Pride resists submission to the plan and the will of God. Pride resists the preaching of the word of God. Amen. All these things. It's pride. And pride is the same thing that brought the devil down. And so unless you want to connect to the devil and get trapped in his devices, you need to put the pride down, humble yourselves, and then get before the Lord, praise the Lord, or seek out counsel and find out what's wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. These kinds of things I don't think are wholly taught in the body of Christ today. And this is a reason why so much of the body of Christ is so crazy, so loopy, so backwards, never forward, always coming up behind. They never quite make it, missing the mark. And the reason they are has nothing to do with what God has delivered to them. God has put a church, a good Bible-teaching church. How do I know? Because we preach the Word. He's put a good Bible-teaching church here in Cory, Pennsylvania. Praise the Lord. This church is here to help every single person in this town, even though it's not big enough. Amen. We can build a bigger facility if we need to. But even though it's not big enough, it's here to reach every single person. And yet look around you and ask yourself how many people are being reached. And a lot of times it's because people just flat out reject it. You know, we've had people that have come in, flat out reject it. They don't like what's being taught and leave. Well, that's happened in Mayville, too. I dare say that if we had all the people that ever came through our Mayville church, we would be a church in Mayville of probably 400 people, at least, in a town of 1,600. I mean, you do the math. That's 25% of the town. But we've had at least that many different people through our church. Well, glory to God. Amen. But it's because people don't connect to the truth, connect to the word. Amen. Glory to God. Any farmer knows that a good harvest doesn't just happen. And the Bible calls us like good farmers, James tells us. Like good farmers, amen? Praise the Lord. You want to be a good farmer if you want to harvest. Anybody want harvest in their life? Yes. Amen. Anyone want good harvest in their life? That's even better than harvest because you can get a harvest in your life. Some people have a harvest in their life because they've been planting the wrong seeds. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one thing we know from the Word is that all that you get is what you sow. And so what you sow is what you get. Amen. So if you want a harvest, if you want a specific harvest, you need to learn to sow in that way. A farmer knows, and a Christian should know. Every Christian should know. Praise the Lord. Ask yourself. Ask your spouse. Am I a Christian? Tap your neighbor. Am I a Christian? And if they say yes, the answer is, praise the Lord, that your harvest isn't just going to happen. Amen. God loves us all. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, right? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We love that scripture. So we know that God greatly loves the world. We know according to scripture that God is a good father, that he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. God isn't withholding from you. God isn't keeping you back. In fact, I started seeing it like this. Not too long ago, the Lord started showing me, and it's like, people look at God all wrong. You know, because people, a lot of good-hearted Christians, this is what will happen. They'll make a mistake or they'll screw up, and then they think, man, well, God's going to punish me for this. God isn't looking to punish anybody. His desire is not punishment. Now, God will dole out punishment if it's necessary, but his desire isn't punishment. And you say, well, how do I know? Well, the Bible says that he's a better father than I am. And I know one thing about my kids, that even in the worst times, I never wanted to punish them. Never wanted to. Sometimes they did it. Sometimes they made it easier to do it. But it was never something that I desired. It was never. I never looked at my kids during punishment and thought, man, I'm really happy this is what I get to do right now. No, every single time I came to my kids, every single instruction I give my kids, the purpose for it is always to do the same thing. I want your life blessed. In fact, I have proven by how I live my life that my kids, that I care about my kids' blessing more than I care about my own. Some parents don't do that, but I focused on my family. I focus on my wife. I focus on my kids. I focus on those things which are important to me because those are the things that matter. And that's what a good parent does. Amen. And I know because of that, God is even a better parent than I am. And so he isn't withholding from me. In fact, God is looking for a way to bless me even when I screw up. He's just looking for every opportunity he can do to get things in my life. Why am I saying this? Because people that sit around thinking that God is just withholding from them don't know God. They don't know the God of the Bible. They don't understand the God that sent Jesus to die for them. All they think, they're trapped within their own thinking, their own misery, and they're not seeing God for who he truly is. God is looking for an opportunity to bless us. So then you've got to ask yourself, why aren't we just all walking around in the abundance of the Lord? Now, I'm not just talking about stuff or money or things. Why aren't we all super spiritual people? Because if you haven't sown spiritually, you don't get to reap spiritually. Why aren't you, there's natural principles too, but I just want to ask you that because some people sit there and they'll get in any argument that they can. They say, well, some people are rich. Yeah, there's natural principles that which one do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the plan and purposes of the world, or do you want to follow the plan and purposes of God? Christian, decide. Because once you've decided, then we can know how to help you or not help you. Amen? We can know whether or not we're wasting our time. Amen? We're not talking about the world. We're talking about the people of God. Why aren't the people of God walking in the fullness of what God has for them? Because they haven't connected to that yet. God is not withholding. The Bible says so. If that statement, if God is not withholding, is true or not true, then I can't believe the rest of the Bible. And then we're all just wasting our time. Praise the Lord. Any farmer knows that a good harvest doesn't just happen. Amen? Praise the Lord. The quality of the harvest is determined by two things. You ready? Two things the quality of the harvest is determined by. The soil in which the seed is sown, and the amount and quality of the seed that is sown. So it matters where you plant it, and it matters what you plant. Right. In other words, I use this example all the time, but you cannot plant corn and expect to grow wheat. Right. The two things won't happen. You can beg and plead with God all day long. A farmer can get on his hands and knees and say, Lord, all I got is corn. I planted corn, and all I'm getting is wheat. This is how Christians live. They're sowing the wrong seeds, they're getting the wrong harvest, and then they're blaming God for it. And he said, I made you the farmer. I'm not the farmer. He said, I made you the farmer. Praise the Lord. It's up to us. God has always determined that our harvest is up to us. The amount we receive from God has nothing to do with personal favoritism, has nothing to do with intelligence, has nothing to do with what country you were born in or what color you were born or any of these things. None of these things matter in God's eyes. They don't matter. God doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're male, he doesn't care if you're female. All he cares is that you do his word. So if you connect to his word, if you plant the right seed, you will always have the right harvest. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So the soil in which the seed is sown matters, and the amount and quality of the seed that is sown. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you plant a little seed, you know, if you take out one kernel of corn and you go out into your backyard and you plant it and you tend to it, say you tend to it really well. Maybe you stir up the soil really good and you add just the perfect fertilizers. You spent years researching. You got just the right fertilizers and you get that kernel of corn and you plant it in the ground. Praise the Lord. And you tend to it. You watch it day and night. You don't even sleep. Amen? And you just get the nicest stalk with a couple of ears of corn on there. And you look at it and you say, but God, where's my harvest? Why don't I have more? Why is this field not filled with corn? You only planted one seed. If you plant one seed, this is why I endeavor to plant seeds of all kinds, all the time, as much as I can. Christians who think, well, I gave into that offering, or I brought my tithe, so I planted a seed. No, you didn't. You were just obedient. You didn't plant seed for a harvest. If you want seed for a harvest, you, depending on the size of the harvest you want, that's the seed you got to start planting. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about in anything. People look at my relationship with my wife. They say, why do you have such a good relationship with your wife? God must really have loved you. Yes, he did love me. He sent me Renee. Praise God for her. I am so thankful for her. Without her, I would never have made it even close to this far. Glory to God. But our relationship is not awesome because he sent me Renee. Our relationship is awesome because we constantly and consistently sow good seeds into it. Consistently and constantly sow into it. The reason we have a good relationship is because we sow good relationship seeds. Amen? I'm even getting ahead of myself, and I don't mean to. Galatians 6:7, go ahead and turn with me there. We know the scripture. Praise God. Is it really? Did you start that right? Wow. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:7. Better turn faster because I went right by Galatians. What am I thinking? Galatians 6:7. Hallelujah. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Remember I said the first thing we need to get is understanding, or it was wisdom. We need to get wisdom. We need to understand how God works. That's exactly what this is saying. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. If you believe other than what this is about to say, the Bible says that you are deceived. Praise God. God is not mocked. In other words, the way he designed things to be is the way that they are going to go. The way God made things is the way that they're going to work. Amen? There is a reason that cats and dogs don't make dats or cogs. Right? Praise the Lord. A cat can only make a cat, and a dog can only make a dog. Why? Because the seed, that's the way the seed works. But now you can have a whole bunch of cats and dogs if you're sowing the seeds in the right area. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. The way he designed it to be is the way it will always work. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That he will reap. Nothing else. What you sow is what you reap. And what you reap is what you've sown. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, there is one exception to this, and this is Jesus. We did nothing to receive Jesus. We did nothing to have Jesus die for us. Now, we did something to receive him, to accept that harvest, but we did nothing for it. We did nothing to make that happen. That is a seed that we have not sown. God sowed on all of our behalf because he loved us. Praise the Lord. But he sowed that seed to ensure that we would have all the access to all others. Amen? There's never an excuse. The purpose of Jesus was to ensure that we never had an excuse for walking out of what God asked for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. People are always, listen to me, they are always trying to get a harvest when they've sown no seed. Praise the Lord. If you want a harvest spiritually, you have to sow spiritual things. If you want a harvest in finances, you have to sow financial things. If you want a harvest in your marriage, you will have to sow into your marriage. And I'm going to say this too, especially with a marriage, because a marriage works a little bit differently. A marriage is what? It's a partnership. And so if you have one spouse or one part of the partnership going and plucking the seed you're sowing, that can cause a problem, can it? And so if we're doing that, we have to understand that that happens in the church all the time. That there's some people who do what's supposed to be done, some people who won't, and the group suffers if not everybody does it. If we all come together and do the whole thing, then we see that with the children of Israel, but we also see that in marriage. And so we have to understand that eventually if somebody doesn't stop plucking your seed, then there's a decision to make, and you have to look at it and say, hey, wait a minute here. And first of all, you say, you're plucking my seed. I'm trying to plant. I'm trying to have a harvest. And you're destroying it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why do I say stuff like that? Well, because sometimes you have spouses, like, you know, maybe you have a good church, everybody here, I think everybody's spouse is here, praise the Lord. But there's sometimes in churches where you have like, and I was thinking specifically of this when I wrote this, that, you know, maybe one comes to church and one doesn't come to church. And the one that doesn't come to church isn't sowing into the relationship. They just want to be miserable. They just want to be nasty. Well, eventually, the other spouse, the one that's being faithful, has to determine, well, wait a minute. If they're just constantly plucking the seed for a good marriage, I'm not having a good marriage here. I need to end it. I need to, well, praise God, hallelujah. I've been in this position before. It's not always an easy position to make. It's not a easy decision to make. It's not always a fun one to make. But if you want, listen, if you want a harvest, you got it, the rules still apply. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, and I want to say this too, because this is something else we have to understand. Speed is not a determining factor in your harvest. In other words, if you get your harvest takes a little while, if it takes a long while, praise God, that is not a determining factor. You know, when I was out in California, I got a picture upstairs, but when I was out in California one time, we went to the Sequoia National Forest, I think it's called, and up there they have the largest tree by volume in the world. It's a General Sherman tree. It's about as big, the base of it is about this sanctuary. So if you look at this sanctuary, this is the base of the tree. Amen. And so I stood before this tree. The tree is however many feet in the air, I forget. I know the first branch is 7 foot thick. Amen. But this is an enormous tree. So you're just looking around, you can imagine. But how many know that that tree didn't grow overnight? You know, when they first started cutting down the redwoods and the sequoias to get all that precious lumber out of them and stuff like that, those trees didn't grow overnight. There was a time, and you know, when the people got there to cut them down, you know, they didn't see all that. You know, I think they said that this tree predated Jesus. And so you understand, it's like thousands of years old, this tree. And so there's a harvest. You don't get that overnight. You can't grow giant sequoias in a lifetime. Amen? They take multiple generations. And so we have to understand that speed is not a determining factor. What we do have to understand is we have to understand what kind of harvest we're after and what kind of process it takes. Amen? Glory to God. There are things, and I had to learn this the hard way, and young people, especially my children, I like to speak to them. I'll share this with you. There are things that you are going to desire today that are not for you until you're in your 40s, till you're in your 50s, till you're in your 60s. There are things I realize I will not get even in my 40s. There are things I realize I will not get even in my 50s. There are some things I might not get in my 60s. I'll have to wait till my 70s, but that's okay. The most important thing is you have to understand that you can still sow towards that now. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, whenever you see somebody who has had like a wedding anniversary of like, you know, like 60, 70 years, 50 years, whatever, it's all a real long time. But when you see that and they're still together and they're still happy, amen, what is that moment? That moment is years of sowing. Amen. That's not free. It doesn't just happen because it happened, because these people were lucky or blessed or whatever. I mean, blessing can be part of it, but the blessing of the Lord is on all of us. All of us should walk in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about seed and fertilizer. Amen. I'm just going to bring up some scriptures here. Mark 4:14, this is a seed. The sower sows the word. Very simple. You want a harvest, the first place you start is the word. How do you sow the word? Well, you sow the word by first getting the word in you, then allowing the word to, then you grab onto the word and you hold the word. This is tending to the word. Amen. And then as that word is in you, you start doing the word. If you don't do, if these things don't exist in your life, then you will have no harvest, not a godly harvest. There are natural principles. If you want to, and one of the problems in the church today is too often the church is going back and forth, or people in the church are going back and forth between the natural world and the God world. I'm going to do God today. I'm going to do the natural world tomorrow. I'm going to do God the next day and the natural world the next day. And see, it doesn't work that way. Decide what you want today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stop being double-minded, tossed to and fro. That's why so many Christians are tossed to and fro, because they're living part in the world and they're living part in the church. They come to the church, but then they don't do the things that they're taught. They don't do the things, they don't put to practice the word that's preached. Yeah, I just put it to you this way. One of the things that the Lord was showing me, the reason that my life changed, is because one of the things that I did every single week after my pastor preached the message is I took notes, I wrote down the scriptures that he used, and then in my break time and throughout the rest of the week, I went back to those scriptures that my pastor preached, the ones that he sowed into me, and I went back over. What is that? Tending to the seed. That's watching for the harvest. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was doing it. And by doing so, what happened is my life built. My life grew. I grew out of those places. I got up because I wasn't offended by the word. I heard the word and I said, this is changing my life. Every single time I heard the word, I thought, this is changing my life. Yeah. What did it do? It changed my life because I allowed it. I sowed it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So the sower sows the word. Sowing is a work. It's an act. Sowing is not just something that happens. So for some reason, Christians just think, well, I can come sit in church, hear a message, and go out, my life will be blessed. Won't happen. You're not sowing the word. In fact, we're going to see some things maybe that are quite opposite. So then there's fertilizer too, right? When you plant something, it's always good if you fertilize it. It's amazing if you add a little Miracle-Gro. Hebrews 4:2, I want to bring up this scripture for you. We'll turn to some scripture again. But for indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. If you do not mix in faith, praise the Lord, glory to God. Faith is not what you believe to be true. It is not that. Faith is not what you believe to be true. Faith is your belief in God's truth. Yes. It has nothing to do with what you believe to be true. It has everything to do with your belief in God's truth. Amen? Because this is where a lot of people, this is where they differ over the word. Because they're saying, well, I'm not sure I believe that. Oh, yeah, what's it say? Because it doesn't matter what you believe or how you see it or how you think about it. It doesn't matter what you've been, what's been brought up in you. I have seen Christians that have been Christians for decades. And it means nothing. It gets them into heaven. It means that much. But it means nothing for their personal life. Why? Because they haven't had it sown into them. Or they haven't tended to the seed that was sown. This is why, I think of one gentleman that I used to be in church with. Older gentleman. Actually, I was just thinking about him this week. Loved the man. Good man of God. Faithful in many ways. But there's still a part of this old-time religion that's in him. And constantly holds on to him. I've seen this over and over. I've seen it keep people from healing, getting healed. I've seen it keeping people from their blessing. God wants to bless them the whole time. They can't see it because they're too caught up in their old-time religion or the things they thought. The Word of God is living and powerful. What does it mean it's living? It means that it's constantly changing. Living is constantly moving, constantly breathing. When I'm living, I'm constantly active. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's what living should be. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's always working, or should be always working in us. If we think that we've arrived or we know something, we've missed it. Yeah. Amen. So faith is not what you believe to be true. It's your belief in God's truth. Okay, now you remember we talked about get understanding, right? I want you to turn with me to Matthew 13. Praise the Lord. Now usually this is a parable of the sower. And usually when I preach on the parable of the sower, I usually go to Mark 4. But just today, in this message, you know, I was directed in a different place. You're going to have to forgive me because it's one of those evenings. But I am going to take this off. Praise the Lord. At least I came with it. Praise the Lord. So anyways, I usually preach here, but there's another side of it. Amen. And we know that's what the Gospels are. They're not contradictory. They are another viewpoint of the same thing, the same events. Amen. And so Matthew 13, we're going to start in verse 18. Praise God. Hallelujah. You getting help tonight? Yeah. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. You know, how many times have we talked about, and the Bible says this, it says, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's essentially what he's saying here. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received by the wayside. So we see this. He says, in all you're getting, get understanding, right? I'm looking at it up there. In all you're getting, get understanding. But what does it say here? It doesn't say this in the other version. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, So first of all, you got to remember, if someone's hearing the word, they have to be in a place to be hearing the word, which is where you are. You're in a place, you're hearing the word preached, so you're hearing the word of the kingdom. But if one of you hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So I'm a sower. I'm sowing the word. That's what I do week in and week out. When I get into the pulpit or my wife gets in the pulpit, we're sowing the word. We're trying to sow the word into people's lives. Now, it's up to you to take that seed that we've sown and tend to it, to make sure that there's growth, to make sure that there is, it is not my job to make sure there's harvest in your life. Right. Amen? Praise the Lord. It was not my pastor's job to make sure there was harvest in my life. Now, he worked with me, and because I reached out to him, because I connected with him, because I endeavored to learn from him, even more so, I was able to be taken further. But it was only because of that. Do you know that there's other people that came in even before I did and never progressed past where they were because they never took the time to reach out? They never took the time to understand. They never planted the word in the heart, or the word that was already planted in there. They never tended to it. They didn't take time to understand it. See, what happens is a lot of times is we'll hear the word, and maybe if it's something we don't like, we instantly get offended. And what that offense does is that offense keeps us from getting into the understanding of it. When somebody preaches something to me that I don't understand, the first thing I do is I set out to understand it. In fact, there is a scripture that I have been in tons and tons and tons of times. I've heard it preached tons and tons and tons of times. And I just, I'm preaching on it tomorrow, but I honestly, there was parts of it I just didn't fully understand. And so you know what? I sat down before the Lord this week and I said, Lord, I'm tired of not understanding the scripture. I want to know the fullness of it. I want to know all about it, everything you show me. And so I got down before God, and I got a piece of paper out, and I drew diagrams. You know, ask my wife, I filled up a piece of paper with diagrams, drawing all kinds of diagrams to try to explain this and that, and look back for I was trying to understand it. And in that, and being before the Lord, he showed me all kinds of things. He opened the scripture up to me. And because of that, a whole flood of things came out of that. That whole flood of understanding, a whole flood of a way of living. And you know why that is? It is not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm somebody who determined that I wanted a harvest from the word. I put the word in me. I said, I'm going to get all that I can get out of it. I'm going to find out all that I can about it. I endeavor to understand it. And guess what? The devil can't take it. But there's so many people that the word of God is sown into them, and then they forget about it. It just falls by the wayside. You know, it's kind of metaphorical about life. You know, how many things just in a busy life, you know how it is. How many things in your busy life just fall to the wayside? Man, I completely forgot about that. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. We got more scripture to get into, though. When anyone hears a word, okay, we read that. Verse 20, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word. Notice the one thing that ties all these people together is they all heard the word. You look in any given church, anybody who's sitting there, they should all be hearing the word, but some people don't even give attention to it. You know, there's times where I've preached to people and they're sleeping. They're not hearing the word. There's times I've preached to people and they're all looking, you know, looking around, looking at this, looking. They're not hearing the word. They're hearing everything else other than the word. Oh, praise God. I have watched ministers dealing with specific things, specific issues, and have known that the people in that place are dealing with the issue and they're not hearing the word. Right there, they're hearing it, but it's not even there. So this is a stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Amen, Pastor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You get that little tingle on the inside and you think, this is life-changing. This is what I needed to hear. This is what I was after. Praise the Lord. Yet he has no root in himself and endures only for a while. Notice he endures for a while, but only a while. Have you ever seen a Christian do that? They come into church and, man, they're excited. They're hearing the word and, well, this is new stuff. I've never heard this before. This is life-changing. My life is a new course. Pastor, this is what we prayed for. This is what we've been after. This is what we believe God for. And thank God you finally brought it. I'm hearing my life change. Yeah. And then in a few months, they gone. Where are they? They're nowhere to be found. Praise God. I mean, they're nowhere to be found. They never connected to it. It had no root in them. They heard the word. They got excited about it. But listen, they can get excited about a lot of things in life. That doesn't mean I get excited about fireworks. I don't sit around all the time looking for them. I mean, if they're there, I'll go see them, right? It's pretty exciting. But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, people love the fireworks. But your life isn't going to be about fireworks. It's about what you're going to be allowed to get rooted in you and grounded in you. Amen? Yet he has no root in himself and endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Listen, when you hear word that is going to change your life and you've recognized this word will change my life, guess what's coming? Something to try and take that word from you. And how is it going to take it? Because it's going to come in. When you start sowing, you hear, oh man, I'm going to start sowing, so I'm going to give an offering here, and I'm going to give an offering here. And then all of a sudden, your finances are attacked, and you sit there and say, well, I thought that the word, yes, the word works, but persecution comes to steal the word from you. Tribulation comes to steal the word from you. But see, if you are somebody who believes God and not the world, you know it doesn't matter if tribulation comes. He will get you. Jesus said, in your life you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have already overcome in the world. In the world you will see tribulation. Guess what, Christian? You will see it. Christian, you will see it. Was today a good day? Great. Guess what? Tomorrow might not be. Tomorrow might really stink. You might look at tomorrow and think, man, I wish I had yesterday or a few days from now. I don't want to be where I'm at. But if you're a Christian, if you are a knowledgeable Christian, if you get understanding, the thing that you will understand is that you can trust God, you can believe God. So no matter what it looks like today, it will be better. No matter what it looks like today, I'll get through. Because I can't fail if I stick to the word. Well, praise the Lord. Now he who received among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Look at that. So this is someone who starts, they hear the word, they start doing the word, they're off on a good course. And just let me tell you, I've been a Christian now in this camp, hearing these things for 15 years. I've had times of harvest. Praise the Lord, I've had times of harvest. And I've had times afterwards where there was nothing. I've had times where it seemed like it was all being robbed, where it was all being taken. I've had many of those times. It doesn't matter. Because God has been the constant. The ups and downs in life, there'll be ups and downs in life, but if they move you, then God is not your constant. If you are moved by circumstance, your circumstance is your constant. So wherever your circumstance goes is what the state of your heart will be. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. This isn't to attack you. This is to help you. So the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and the word that was being fruitful starting to plant. Like, listen. You know, you can go up into that mountain and you can find trees, the sequoia trees. You can find saplings, baby. They still make them. Yeah. Whoever the sequoia gods are, you know, they're out there making, praise the Lord. And so they're still making sequoias. Sequoias still happen. Yeah. But if you let that tree grow and say you get it, maybe even let it grow 1,000 years. Sure. But you go cut it down halfway through. Yeah. There's not going to be 2,000 year fruit in it. You're not going to get that giant tree. You're not going to get the tree that's as big as this room. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. You know, another interesting thing, and I want to use this point too. We were up there on that mountain, and we went to, they have signs all over the place. It's a tourist area. And so they have this tree that's 2,000 years old, and it's as big as this room. And then they had this other tree over in this one area, and there was a sign by it. And it was just a little tree. I mean, a little tree. And I don't think it was as big as I was. And there was a sign by it that said, this tree is almost the same age. What's the deal? One was planted right, in the right soil, had the right sunlight. In other words, was cared for the right way. You had two in the same place. Same DNA, the same that we've been given, God's DNA. You and I have it both. What my life is no better or no different than what your life is. It's only a matter of how it's tended to. I wasn't exactly It wasn't like 2,000 years old, but it was like hundreds of years old, but it was still very small. And the idea is that it wasn't ever going to grow bigger. I want to be, you know, completely accurate, or as much as I can be anyways. Amen? Praise the Lord. But when, praise the Lord, yeah, he becomes unfruitful. But he receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we see there's different levels of the amount that even the good ground hears, but they will all produce, because God guarantees produce. So let's recap that real quick. What robs harvest? Number one, lack of understanding will rob your harvest, because that gives the devil opportunity to come and rob it. If you don't understand it, the devil can come and steal it. Amen? Number two, another thing that robs your harvest is the lack of root. Tribulation or persecution can easily uproot things. You know, sometimes you see a windstorm or something, you see a tree that's got shallow roots and it's laying over. What is that? It's the same thing. Christians are the same way. Amen? Number three, another thing that can rob your harvest is distraction. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke it out. What is the deceitfulness of riches? This isn't just trying to get rich, but this is also in poverty. The deceitfulness of riches is that you need riches. The deceitfulness of riches is that you want more riches. The deceitfulness of riches is that you won't let go of what you have. All these things. These are all the deceitfulness of riches. There's many areas involved in that. Amen? So it doesn't necessarily just the deceitfulness of trying to get rich, but it can be just the deceitfulness of getting out of the mess you're in. Yeah. If you're focused on that, that can rob from you. Amen? What was growing stops producing. And that's the one thing about distraction that is so, so dangerous. Because here you have a Christian who's been in the church maybe, been serving, been a good Christian, maybe for years. But all of a sudden they get distracted by something, and then the fruit stops producing. They end the fruit. And there's Christians that have completely lost because of that. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. Says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Yeah. Notice it says, if he cleanses himself from the latter. You determine in your life what kind of vessel you are. God does not determine what kind of vessel you are. God will take anybody wherever they are, and his plan for them is always great. Jeremiah 29:11 guarantees us that God's plan for us is good. Whatever it looks like, it's going to be different. Your plan will not look like my plan, but it will be good. You will be blessed. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But we determine whether or not, praise the Lord. A Christian not abiding in the word, listen to this. This is so important, and I've been hammering on this and preaching on this because it's so important, because it's revelation that the Lord gave me. But a Christian not abiding, remember, abiding does not mean, you know, I don't go to my house. If we go on vacation, we're not home. But I still have an abode. That house is taken care of. I'm concerned about it. I'm thinking about it. It's a place that we don't just leave behind and come back years later. Amen? See, it matters how you take care of your home. Yes, look at your home. Look at the things that God has blessed you with. And take care of it, because that's a metaphor for your spiritual life, or it's an example of your spiritual life. Amen. A Christian by a not abiding in the word is number one. Listen to me. So again, it doesn't mean if you miss a couple days, you went on vacation, you didn't get in the word. But this is a person who doesn't spend time in the word. Amen. This person is deceived. No ifs, ands, or buts. They're deceived in everything. They're deceived. They have no place. Until they get in the word, they are deceived. They are backslidden. And this is going to sound bad, but this is what came to me. They are a toilet for the devil. A Christian that doesn't spend time in the word is a toilet for the devil. What does this mean? They're not going to be able to deal with the thoughts of the devil. And so what happens is the devil brings his devices, he ensnares them, and he sits on it, and he does his excrement all over it. Doesn't care. That's exactly what it is. That's the picture that is received. Listen, we just read that in any house that there's vessels for honor and dishonor. What do you think dishonor is? It's a toilet. Amen? So if you don't cleanse yourself from the letter, if you don't do the work of the word, if you aren't sowing this in you, or if you are continuing to tend to it, you are allowing yourself to be the devil's toilet. Praise the Lord. James 1:22. Flip on over there. I think I'm going to make it, folks. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it when you can get there. James 1:22. Praise God. Hallelujah. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Remember, we saw that word deceived before. Whatsoever, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he reaps. A person who is a hearer of the word and not a doer of it. What is a doer of the word? A doer of the word is one who does the word. They put it to practice. They do the things it says. They tend to it. They realize it's seed. And so they treat it like seed. And they do the things to make a harvest grow. If you want a harvest, it's up to you. If you don't, keep doing what you were doing. Because if you don't have a harvest and you keep doing what you were doing, you will continue to not have one. It's that simple. But God has made us to be able to be producers. Amen. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So this is what people who sit in church and are not doers of the word, and we've got plenty of them. Praise the Lord, all the time. I don't mean just in this church or whatever. I mean just plenty of Christians that are like this. They observe themselves in the mirror. They go away and immediately forget what kind of man he was. It's the same thing. The word is stolen. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Well, we're not saved by works. No, you're not. But you are saved for works. And so if you don't work, you don't eat. The Bible tells us that, right? This one will be blessed in what he does. Praise God. So if you want to be blessed in what you do, you have to be a doer. Praise God. There is work involved in harvest. So many Christians have this attitude, like if they can just pray enough, that God will hear from heaven, he will answer them, and he will pour out the blessing on their life. But that is not how God designed it to work. Get understanding. All you're getting, get understanding. The understanding is, if you are not working, if you are not working your faith, if you are not doing the things, if you're not doing the word, you will never have harvest. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just can't. It's the truth. You can't have harvest if you don't do the work. There is work in harvest. Why do you think God used these ideas, these metaphors, gives us these pictures of things. He gave these parables because he wants us to understand a harvest doesn't come for free. Any farmer knows a good harvest doesn't just happen. Praise the Lord. You have to spend time. You have to till the soil. You have to plant. You have to water. You have to fertilize. You have to watch over the seed. Sometimes you have to protect it. You know, up where we live in Mayville, pretty much everything would love anything that we plant. Because they like to eat it. I went down, my wife and I went down, and the kids went down to Maryland. We drove all the way down to Maryland to get 12 trees. Yeah, because I couldn't get them anywhere else, and I wanted these 12 trees. Well, the deer ate half of them. Why? Because I didn't protect them. I didn't put a fence around them. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That's what happens. See, sometimes there's things that are coming to steal your harvest. And if you allow it, it's your own fault. There is work involved in the harvest. This is why we need a constant influx of the word, because the word is our instruction for harvest. If you are not constantly putting the word in you, it is not enough to come to church. Church is only the beginning. Church is where you come to get the word to put in you. Now you start working on that harvest. You say, okay, listen, you can go, well, I'm going to go study this. But this is where God is directing you today. And so if you take this word that God's directing you on one day, and you just give it some time during the week, you'll water it. You know, John gave my wife a plant, a flowering plant, or plants, a thing with flowers in it. Yeah, amen. But he gave it to her with instruction. He said, now you take this, but you got to water it. He wasn't being out of line by giving my wife, well, she's his pastor, doesn't matter. He said, I'm giving you this, but you have to water it. because I can't be there every day. And she's been watering it. And guess what? It still looks nice. It looks just as nice as when he watered it. Why? Because she's continuing to water it. Amen? But I guarantee you, if she stops and it stops raining, guess what will happen? The plant will die. Because that's usually what happens at our house. Amen? Praise God. Glory to God. And we're going to close here in Proverbs 28:20. Caleb, can you just bring this up? I don't want to just write it down and go ahead and bring the whole scripture up if you can. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man, what does the Bible say? A faithful man will abound. 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 What's a faithful man? A faithful man is someone who believes and then does. That's a faithful person. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about the people in the world. It's talking about in the kingdom of God. One who hears, they believe, and then they do. They hear, they believe, they do. This is a faithful man. A faithful, what do we understand about faithfulness? Faithfulness is, you know, if you were faithful to help me on a project, you would be there early. You would be there ready. You would be there with extra. And you would be like, you would take it above and beyond. That's the idea of what faithfulness is. According to Scripture, Scripture tells us that faithfulness, oh, praise the Lord, faithfulness always makes sure that it's, you know, it puts importance on it. And it's the same thing with us. If we put the importance on it, if we put the importance on the Word, we will see the harvest. We can't not see the harvest because the Bible says that a faithful man will abound. Amen? And so if you're not abounding, then you just need to work on the faithfulness part. Amen? You got the Word to start. Praise God. The Word will start helping you tonight. And as you go forward, glory to God, if you continue to put this to practice. We see it in our lives all the time. We have had things that show up in our lives that we weren't even at. I mean, there were some things that showed up in my life I felt bad about. I shouldn't even have this. Saying to my wife, I shouldn't even have this. Not because it was sinful or anything like that, just because I was like, I don't even feel like I deserved it, but it came. And then it came because I didn't even ask for it. God showed me that it was coming. And then God brought it to me. And I wasn't seeking it, I wasn't after it. It just showed up. Why? I'm faithful. Faithful man will abound in blessing. I'm not saying I'm the most faithful or even as faithful as I could be, but I'm at least that much faithful to receive that much. Praise the Lord. And I've abounded in that blessing. Hallelujah. But you know, that blessing that I abounded in, it didn't come overnight either. Praise God. It came after years and years of sowing. Praise God. And so sometimes that's the way it is. But praise the Lord. If you put these principles to work, folks, you'll be blessed in what you do, and you'll be ready for everything that God has you to do. Glory to God. He'll be able to show you and open the doors, and you'll just walk in, and it'll be great.